The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. The gang's here for Ladies' Night. It's 40K Thursdays.
Hello, welcome to the Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to 40K Thursdays, the day of knowledge and tactical insight when it comes to 40K is what you would find on another show. On this show, you'll get the best guesses and some hot takes. I'm joined by Nick Pert, the Necron Hello. Overlord himself. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Hello, I'm very good, thank you.
Good. And also Tom, the aficionado Layton. How are you?
You're just feeding my ego even more, and I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Listen.
Great hair. Tom's got great hair.
I need a cut. I just haven't had the opportunity.
It's so full and vibrant and full of life.
Yeah, you look really nice. Really nice. Is that a new grey t-shirt?
No. I found it on the floor.
So hello everyone who's joined us live in the chat. Exciting times. On Saturday we'll be doing a hobby hangout during our Saturday show, and that'll be because today officially, but Saturday will be our hobby hangout show where we'll just have a bit of a laugh on Saturday. Today is officially the Honest Wargamer's third birthday. That's right, 3 years of truly hot takes, and I couldn't be happier. Tom, Nick, thanks for joining me on this journey. You guys have been brilliant.
No, thanks for having me. It's been a fantastic journey. I've loved it. Tom clearly feels the same.
Yeah.
Tom, you got any feelings at all? Any feelings?
No.
Is this because you've been writing Necron lists and all your emotion has been drained from you?
I mean, all the Necron lists have had one constant, and I'm going to share that with you guys later. But I've got a looter level take that I want to share with you guys later on in the show.
But emotionless. Are you not proud that you've been on the show for 3 years?
I'm baffled, to be perfectly honest with you.
I think we all are. Let's be real.
Yeah, true.
We're all baffled. Liam Jordan, thanks for subscribing. Thanks, everyone, for subscribing and joining us in the Twitch chat. What up, O-Reaper? I see you. Mavnav Fub, Jog PLC. Let's go, Twitch chat. The Jam Gang. I would like to let everyone know that I'm also potentially going to be doing some jam reviews on Facebook soon. But that's a whole different, not Facebook, on Twitter. So if you are excited about that, please do let us know. And also, thanks to everyone who subscribed. Dataless, Mamdare, seems like yesterday. Crazy Horse, Edius Knight, Scott B. Gwersey, Liam Jordan, thanks so much. You guys are brilliant. So, Nick, Tom, how are you both? Are you both well?
I'm okay. Obviously, Nottingham has gone under more COVID restrictions, so gameplay has ceased for the time being. So I've not been playing any games, not even played any TTS games either. We have been doing, so on Wednesdays, I was previously going to Gozzy's house to play some 40K with some of the Wednesday Night Warhammer dudes and the guys I play D&D with. But we've done like some hobby hangouts over Skype, which has been quite fun on Wednesday instead of playing. So I've been building some Necron stuff. I've bought, and this is going to trigger some competitive people, I've built two Necron reanimators.
Oh, I always tried to put those in my list today, and then I read through them and I was like, nah. But that's fun. two reanimators.
Two of them, yeah. And also I've built my Scorpec Lord, but I've converted him to be much more of a scorpion. So I've gone like more Canoptek style scorpion. So I'll see if the camera can pick this up.
Oh, yeah.
So I've chopped it. I've not given him a Necron head. I've given him a weirder Canoptek head. And I've just converted him to look much more like an actual scorpion.
He looks very cool.
Started on the other guys, the destroyers as well. I've just built the legs and then built the torsos a bit more scorpion-like, but not finished them off properly yet.
That's fun. Have you been excited about the new book, like having read through it, like, and then like getting the models painted? Are you excited for when you can finally play again?
Yeah, I am super excited because Necrons were my first 8th edition army, Because before I missed like a couple of editions of 40k because I was playing fantasy. But then when 40k was eventually getting AOSified, Necrons were my first army that I built for the release. Mm-hmm. And I love Necron Warriors. I love the old school sculpts. I've got 60 of them. You can see them in the picture behind me. So the list I've wrote and I'm going to talk about tonight, I think it's all right. I think it's pretty good. And I'm really excited to use them on the table because I love seeing just hordes of Necron Warriors shambling across the tabletop.
Do they shamble, though? You can get them pretty fast.
They kind of shamble because they're kind of getting shot at and putting themselves back together. They're not, like, majestically striding across the battlefield like Harlequins or Space Marines, are they?
No. Those Space Marines are particularly nippy in the right situation.
They are.
Okay, well, that's fun. Tom, what hobby have you been doing? How's 40K been for you this week? What's been going on?
Very little. I've signed up for Innes's second or third, even, tabletop simulator tournament with the Scottish dudes.
Okay.
Mainly to show them some cheese that I've been working on that I think is going to be kind of fun, but also just to body his teammates again. I've got one trophy behind me. There's going to be a second one soon. I also read a book within half an hour after. So I read the book, went to the work, and went straight to Games Workshop to buy myself some new models. And what I bought is in this box. I'm just going to turn off my background.
Are you going to do an unboxing?
So here's a box. It's got my address on it, so I need to be very careful.
Okay.
First thing I got.
It's number one, Sheffield Road.
Not that you can come here, though. Is this. This is a Nemesaw Zandrek.
Ooh.
Yep.
Cabin.
He is the least exciting part of this box. And in here, we've got. This is Vargard Oberon.
Ooh,
and
okay.
Everyone's been telling you that he's actually shitter than he was last edition because objectively his data slate is worse, and they're right, but he is better.
Okay, all right. I'm very excited to hear both yours and Nick's hot takes on the Necrons. Very excited, especially as you've read the whole book now. So that's good. That's gonna prove advantageous. I thought I saw you just doing some painting. What were you painting up?
Oh, a Chaos Cultist again.
Oh. yes, do you feel worried about the Finecast? Twitch chat are a little bit worried for you and dealing with Finecast. Are you okay with it?
I've already checked the sculpts. The sculpts are fine because they are big slabs of Necrons. Also, I can't be bothered to convert anything because I don't want to have to email TOs and ask if it's okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But you do realize that we've got podcast power, right?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot that it's like playtest advantage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not real.
Playtesting is more of a disadvantage, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, true.
I don't know if you're up on the memo. Hello, everyone in the Twitch chat. Thanks for joining us. I've been painting Custodes, I told you both before before the show started. But I've got six bikers, and I've got all of a 2,000-point list, which is pretty rubbish. It's got three of the Forge World... Dreadnoughts. They are particularly bad. I'd like to point out the Galastus and the Achilles or whatever. Fucking the spear one and the shield one. And they're pretty bad. Like I was reading through their data sheet and I was like, yeah, these really do suck.
D6 damage weapons.
D6 damage, but only four attacks. Yeah. So pretty bad.
I wouldn't mind that if they were like flat damage 3 or 4, that'd be much better. I don't think they'd be bad if there was the damage was less variable.
Well, like I just anyway, yes, not a fan is the simple answer, but I'm going to run them anyway because I'm pretty obsessed. I don't know if you guys are pretty obsessed with the terrain and the ability to hide stuff. Like I think that the game is going to be. Like, I reckon I'd probably be able to run these guys around and not get shot for a while and then just leap out and just go, like, punk an objective. But not because they don't have the output to punk the objective is the major drama. But overall, pretty excited.
But you've got the obsec to score or deny potentially those objectives.
Exactly. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm excited because you've seen before, remember my mixed Imperium list where it had all the kind of blue base in, where it had the, like... Yeah. And I've got loads of, I've already got loads of like Imperium stuff. Like I've got all the ball grins. I've got all the,
just, so you're already prepped to soup.
Yeah. And I just want to, I just thought, well, if I just paint up six bikes, I've got an entire new army to play. Even if it's rubbish, I've got a whole new army to play, which is fun. And, before we get into talking about our lists, by the way, because we're all going to share with you a Necron list that we've designed this week, and we'll talk about our like strengths and weaknesses. That's the point of today's show. I should have said that. Should have also thanked everyone on Patreon. So thank you to you. Should also have thanked everyone on the podcast. Please stay hydrated.
It's a shame it's too late to do it now, though, isn't it?
It's too late. It's too late. None of you get anything now. Fuck you. But what was I going to say? I had a bit of a thought yesterday I'd like to ask you both about, because it goes along with this kind of like me painting up this army.
Is it time for Rob's musing of the week?
It is time for Rob's musing of the week, if that's okay.
Musing of the week.
Musing of the week. We'll get a little audio bit for this. Anyway, what I was basically, it kind of goes along with Knights from last edition. And it's a lot to do with what Tom's been doing. So Tom, I don't want to misquote you, but Tom, you've been painting up like your standard stock stuff that you might need for building an army. Like you built like a rusty 18, didn't you? And then like a loyal 32.
Yeah. Although you don't need those anymore because you don't necessarily want battalions. Which sucks, but it's fine. I got some squeamers done. I'm still working my way through. I'm quite slow on it, but either way, I'm still painting my way through. I want to get a unit of colors done properly so I can take a chaos patrol. So long as I've got one choice, you know what I mean? It's fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Which is kind of where I'm at with this. I'm like, I'm close to just having a custodian's army. But one of the things I was thinking was, especially as we go through doing all these list reviews shows, codex review shows that we're going to do in the future, and we've come up with a new format for that, which we'll tell you about next time, which is super exciting. One of the things that I would like to do is kind of have like a style, if that's all right. And my style is going to be the most elite army that I can build out of that book. And then, you know, so it's like super minimal paint, like super minimal hobby effort. It's just like build as many of X as you can build, and then put them on the, you know, on the Custodes obviously is the perfect example of that army. And then with the Death Guard book coming up, it will like be Morty plus something, and maybe taking a bunch of plague bearers would be good and make it all better, but fuck that, just elite, because I'm pretty obsessed with the terrain and being able to like, if you've got like a lot of power in a small like square footage, like not square footage but you know like small centimeter area, I reckon you'd be able to like use the terrain quite craftily. And I think that would be an advantage of the addition. Does that make sense?
I feel like Custodes can take advantage of the terrain really well because they're obsec, and the bikes in particular, because they have like a small unit of three is the minimum size. It can fit into quite a small area. It can fly and hop over terrain. So it's not got the disadvantage that infantry will have where they've got to go round or maybe through it. So I think the bikers are the best thing in the Custodes book for taking advantage of terrain and being like small elite units.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited about that, because then I think I'm going to have a style, but then also like I think hopefully, probably not financially be able to do so, but I would love to be able to like maybe just invest in those armies so as they come out, and it's like a good segue into a full army. Like, does that make sense? So like if you were like with the Death Guard one, it's like, okay, cool, you need to add bunches of these things on top, let's say to take it from the elite to kind of like a more hordy based army. But I should be able to like start getting armies and playing with them, even if they're not.
I think it's a good way. I think it's definitely a good way to start an army, because like I say, you it's a quick way of getting a fully painted army on the table that you can get going with and start learning how the army works, what the stratagems do, and how the army generally plays, and you get more skilled at it. And then as time goes on, if you want to add more hordy elements to it or smaller MSU units, you can do that, and you've already got the knowledge you've already got from playing or doing reps, as people like to say, with the army.
Agreed. Yeah, no, that's the plan anyway. And I thought it'd be cool. It's a cool musing. Also, just big shout out to the Falcon 40K in the chat. He said he's just stepping in to say these lists were probably bad. But is it as bad as saying the word snooker instead of snooker?
Imagine sending a Centurion list to all of the coaches in the USA and all of them thinking it's bad.
Did you do that?
No, Manny did, and then he smashed everybody.
And didn't you say, and you said scone, right? Rob, on that show. I'm sure he did.
Scone. That's how you say
scone.
It.
Well, you said scone.
Yeah, scone's right.
Scone. So you say it's scone.
Tom, how do you say scone?
No comment.
Why won't you comment?
Well, make a division, okay?
Unity, stop man. Sitting on the fence, you centrist.
Sorry. No.
Oh, fucking snooker. These lists are going to be great. Mine is not great. Anyway, those are my musings. Got any thoughts on that, Tom? Got any thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like that's a very convoluted way of explaining why you're getting a small army, because you don't want to paint more models.
Yeah, that's exactly why. It's not
but that's not what you said. You're saying, oh, I'm going to take a small army because I think we should all have a style, and I like the style because of how terrain works. And it's like, no, Rob just doesn't want to paint very much.
No, but I honestly think that's because I've been running Gazzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I've been running Gazzy, and I've been running the boys, and the boys have just been like you can't hide them. It's just that they're everywhere, right? They're fucked, right? Whereas Gazzy's like, I've just been hiding him absolutely everywhere. I've just been like, I'm just going to sneak around here. Yeah, he's a right little fucking peaky blinder. He's just like, I'm around here, peek around the corner, have a little charge.
In a wardrobe.
Yeah, he's just having a great time. Like, he's just like, by order of the Gazgul Fracker. And he's just been chopping faces. It's been brilliant. Like, and it's really got me in the headspace where it's like, these little dreadnoughts just be like, fucking shuffling around a little corner. It's be like, all right, by order of the custodies, fucking have it, son. So, I'm being serious. It's also to do with the game experience, which is why I'm having that conversation. Like, I was thinking about taking the Canoptic Spiders for Necrons in my list, and I want to take max units of 3 because I wanted to run 9 because I think it would look awesome. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, probably 2 are more hideable.
Like, but also, they fit into a patrol.
No, you can take them in squads of 3.
All right, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So I was like, I wanted to take 9, but then I was like, actually, probably I'd bring it down to 2 because they're more maneuverable, is what I'm trying to say. So that's where my head's at. So I don't want to paint much. You're right, but it also is to do with like the actual in-game effect. That was my musing. That's the musing section over. If everyone, I hope you found it amusing.
Well, that's it. Can I tell you a small bit of Custodes Tactica, which I'm sure other people have discovered? But when we were playing a couple of weeks at Gozzy's house, my friend Rick was running his Custodes, and he had the Aqualon Terminators. And there's a stratagem which you can do on those where you split them into individual models. So in that game, what was a really good use of that stratagem is taking the secondary line breaker. Because line breaker, you score 4 points for every 2. If you have 2 units in your opponent's deployment zone at the end of the turn. So that was like a really nice way of getting, because you only need 1 unit to drop into the deployment zone, and then the next turn you can split, and then you're scoring line breaker, because each model is a separate unit. And because they're a single model, they're hard to take all of them out, and it's easier to hide as well behind the terrain. So that's a cool little bit of tactics that I think Rick was using in that game. So I thought I'd share with you, Rob, since you're beginning your Custodes journey.
Oh no, I'm not going any further. I actually think I think the Terminators look there. I think the Terminators look ugly AF. Like, I
love the Terminators.
Oh, no way. To quote Dave Chappelle, yuck. Like, not into that at all. He's probably not the only person to say yuck. I just think when he says it, it's particularly funny. big shout out to all the
Go on. It's the Aloris Terminators, not Aqualon, that can do the strat.
Oh, okay. Thank you. A big shout out to also everyone in the chat, by the way. They're still arguing about, because it's a very Canadian chat today, and they are all
arguing about pronunciation.
Only a North American could be arrogant enough to tell the English how to speak English.
Well, the Canadians are fine. We're pro-Canadian on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
We're pro-Canadian. Yeah. We're pro-Canadian, at least. Because what's that all about if we weren't?
Not my word, yeah.
half of the show contributors are Canadian at this stage.
We are Ken Hammer.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love Ken Hammer. He's great. All right. Shall we? But the Custodes are all Uggo.
I also love Ken Hammer.
They're all Uggo apart from the Forge World stuff, which is great. I really like the fucking gun dudes. Oh, what are they called? Sagittarum. Sagittarum dudes.
Oh, the Custodes with the massive bolters.
We're not talking about Forge World.
They look so fucking cool.
No, they're just custodians with guns, Tom, but like not spears, but guns.
But the spears are guns.
It's an awkward one. I don't know what. Yeah, they're just big guns. I don't know what to say.
But custodians, they all have big guns.
Right. Oh, nice shout out to Haywo in the chat. Who's brought up us getting ripped off on the telly today, which is not on the telly, on the rag
on the machine
page. On the anti goon hammer. That's cool. Is that what, produced by the butt plug makers? That's what they're now called.
I'm going to model floggers. Them.
We haven't model flogged them in a while. All right, should we talk about the lists?
Sure.
Twitch chat. Okay. Who wants? Shall I go first? Because mine's shit.
Should we get let Twitch chat vote?
I'm gonna go for mine first.
Okay. Fuck Twitch. Fuck chat.
Fuck chat. Yeah. I don't want to do my list. It's shit. And look.
Right. Well, you're the one who said I'll do mine first.
Yeah. I just don't want to do it. I'm just really embarrassed. It's just really shit. Okay. All right. Oh. All right. Anyway.
We'll find some nice things to say about it. Don't worry.
So basically,
there are no nice things to say about it.
Basically, okay. So remember when I did the really fun? Can we just all remember back to the time I did the really fun list with all the Mutalith Vortex pieces before the Rule of Three?
Yeah.
And that was a great list show. Let's remember
that was the best list you've ever written.
Yeah, let's remember that Rob did a good one time, and this is not my day. I already know this going in.
You're so self-conscious. Just give us
this is an interview that I'm failing. I just want you to know that, and I'm all right with it. Okay, so. Okay. I don't want to read it. So I make everyone upset.
That's a good start. Yeah,
Don't look at me. I don't get a pre-game move. Don't look at me. I don't want to talk to anyone. Okay, and then I take.
This is great content for podcast listeners, by the way.
Right, so I take a battalion. Yeah.
Oh dear, that's a bad start.
Obviously. wait, and then, but also a spearhead detachment. Da, 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 da. right, okay. All right, okay. I'll be serious for a second. I've got a catacomb command barge. Right.
Great choice.
Thank you so much. Who's my warlord, and you can pick whatever you want on him. This is just my suggestion, whatever you want.
I would suggest Enduring trick. Will.
Yeah, I'm going for that. We're having that. Yeah. Right. And then
what's that one do again?
What?
Minus one damage.
Uh-huh. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I have got, I need to get his name right, Illuminator Caesarius?
Caesarius.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he's
Illuminor
important.
Caesarius, yeah.
Illuminor Caesarius. Let me get the data sheet, which I am not using the 40k app for because
good
it's
choice.
Really hard to find. Mine's going to be the quick one. I want everyone to know this. Anyway, so he's a cool dude, but most importantly, he's got living metal and he's got command protocols, blah, blah, blah. He's a dynastic agent, though, so he's not going to get... the command barge is going to unlock me having the fucking cool shit, the protocols. But the reason he's being taken is because of the Atomic Energy Manipulator. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you know what that does?
No idea.
Yeah, I know what that does.
I'll let everyone in the chat know what it does. So, at the end of your movement phase, you can select one friendly Necron's core unit. This is important. Necron's core. Yeah. Not a unit within 6 inches of this model. If you do, you roll a 1d3 and consult the table below. And you can't pick a unit to suffer, like, to gain the benefit of this again, if that makes sense. Yeah. Apparently, it's Zeras. Thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate that. Also, big love to Haywo in the chat. I really like that guy. He's super fun.
Yeah, I can't believe you pronounced that wrong.
Wait, it's KFW enabled.
Illuminator, Illuminous.
Oh, no. Pronunciation of that word. Oh my
Zeras.
God.
Zeras. What did I say?
You butchered that. You butchered it.
What? Fuck you. What did I say?
You said illuminate. You said illuminator for a start.
Have we talked about how difficult it is to write lists without Battlescribe?
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
I almost rang you both and were like, let's just not do the show. It's just
don't
not.
Let him change topic, Nikos. Just let him do his
right. I'm gonna go through the list quick so you guys don't get triggered. Anyway, so you roll a D3, so you pick a unit that's a core unit, right? And then you get a result. Well, number one, well, I'll read number three first because it's the worst. Yeah. Until the end of the battle, improve the ballistic skill of characters of the model in that unit by one. That's pretty tough, because as you'll see from the rest of my list, not many opportunities for that to be useful. And then he's also got number two is until the end of the battle, add one to the toughness characteristic of models of that unit. That one is one that I really want. And then number one, until the end of the battle, add one to the strength characteristic of models in that unit, which is also one that I want. Yeah. So pick a core unit, roll a d3, and just hopefully make them either stronger or tougher. That's basically where I'm at. Mamdeh, thanks for donating 100 bits to the show. And also thanks to Gebs for subscribing. Yeah, baby. It's all going on. You said Snooker.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good buff, and I think there's the Blister Skill one is not that great. It's okay for warriors, like a big block of warriors, you get good value out of it. But there's better way. There's already a way in the book to get plus one to hit on them to make them Blister Skill two anyway. So it's not really that relevant.
No, but plus one strength, plus one toughness is very important. I like that. He's also got the rights of reanimation in your command phase. You can select one friendly Necron's core unit, again important, and you can return a model. Or D3 if it's warriors, but don't worry, I've got no warriors in my list, so that's not a drama. So I'm always going to be putting one model back in the unit. And he's also, because he's the Illuminor, model can use the rights of reanimation ability one more additional time per turn. So I'm going to be putting a lot of bodies back, is what I'm saying. A lot of the time, I've also got a resurrection orb on my barge. Now I've obviously also got, so then I've got 2x10 immortals. And in my mind, they're just going to hold the back objectives. And then I've got a unit of 7 immortals because I ran out of points. So those are my whatever. So they're in there. And then I've got the Nightbringer, obviously, because surely you just put a Nightbringer in every list every time. Literally, don't know why you don't ever.
I haven't put him in the list.
Is anyone? Well, anyway, so I put Nightbringer in there because if you don't know what he does, he's super, super pro. And he's just like, super pro is the wrong word. Just anyway. He's just going to be running around dunking fools. All right, okay. And then the spearhead detachment is the important part. So don't forget, they're all going to move forward early. The super tanky is a psychomancer, and he's got the Veil of Darkness. Ah, 70 points. And then 3x10 Lich Guard with shields and hyperphase swords. That's what they are. And they've got 3 attacks each, and they hit on 3s, and they are toughness and strength. 5. Let me just double check, make sure that's right. I'm pretty certain that's right. Hold on.
They're kind of like they're a Necron equivalent, like Blade Guard veterans, because they've got like a 4+ invuln, 2+ save.
Yeah.
But I think are they better than Blade Guard because they have reanimation and they're better toughness?
Are they better than Blade Guard?
Yes, maybe not,
but
points,
but you can't. But like, it's hard. Well, I would have said it was hard to bring Blade Guard back, but you can bring stuff back in the Marine book fairly.
Oh yeah, you can.
But what I like about this is you're gonna obviously you've got reanimation protocols as well, which is pretty cool. Big Goldfish, thanks for subscribing and donating 1,000 bits to the show. Fish.
Woo-hoo.
Oh my god!
Thank you.
I'm gonna use that to buy gin, not for me, back for fish.
Jam or gin.
Gin jam?
Jam
that tastes like gin?
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good. Anyway, so the Lich Guard, which is the linchpin of the army.
It's like, nice.
No one left. Okay. But they got 3 attacks each, and they are strength 5, toughness 5, weapon skill 3. But don't forget, obviously, you can give them My Will Be Done. So they're going to get plus 1 to hit. Yeah, so you could be hitting on 2s. I think there's a strat where I can give an extra attack as well, but the hyperphase sword is strength plus 1, so it's going to be strength 6, right, and then minus 3 doing 1 damage, and they're just basically just going to romp onto objectives. And then the psychomancer is in the list, is going to make something not objective secured. So basically it's the 3 units of immortals move up the board, but it's really it's 2 because one of them teleports with the psychomancer, charge in, clear an objective, make something unobjective secured, yeah, back of the board the immortals are shooting. The immortals, and then you've just got to deal with the Nightbringer in the midfield, and then 2 blocks of basically unkillable dudes that you keep resing, and that's it. Oh, and they've got all the protocols, which the thing I didn't mention is that they're core. So obviously, I could maybe make them because they're core units, Lich Guard. So they've got the core keyword. So you can make them strength plus 1 or toughness plus 1. So strength 6. I think toughness is the best bit. So they're toughness 6. That would be super sweet.
Because they're not necessarily in the list to damage output. They're more to sit on objectives and be survivable. So
I don't know though. It's 30 attacks at like strength 6 already, so they couldn't go up to strength 7. Like, and that's not brilliant against like any T8 stuff, but I don't know about you guys. I reckon there's not going to be as much T8 stuff in the world, like, in the future.
Yeah, Knights, yeah.
Yeah, like, I just don't think there's going to be as much T8. I think, like, the average toughness of armies in 40k is going to have been reduced from last edition is a kind of, like a completely anecdotal take on the game as is. But I think there'll be less T8. So I think actually the fact... But it's the tanky and survivability. Like, so I don't have a lot of, like, range threat, but I'm just, like, basically just womp into the middle of the board, fight everything on the objectives, Nightbringer goes and picks something off, so just be really conservative with the Nightbringer, and then I can always just, like, phase a unit out, and then just using that Psychomancer, because I think they're good for however many, for the points that you spend on them, the Lich Guard, and they 4 up, 2 up, toughness 5, could be toughness 6, you get all the protocols applied to them, and that's also really important as well, so you can, all the protocols at the right time can apply to those guys. I don't know, anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's my list, and that's all I'm going to tell you. I don't think it's very good. What do you think?
I don't think it's a bad list.
It's a bit boring.
I think maybe, but you've got to put it. It'll score primaries very well.
Yeah.
Because the immortals aren't necessarily on the same level of Lich Guard in terms of resilience, but you've got at least a little bit of range, damage from them. Nothing outrageous. But the Lich Guard are just a really, really good unit for sitting on primary objectives, and that's how you score a lot of your points.
But not sitting on objectives, though, because the Immortals will do that. What I really want is something to push stuff off objectives, because that's the other thing as well that I find like to be like a weakness sometimes, is having something that actually will push something off and then survive where they are, which I think they might be able to do. And you could go like all in, right? You could send like 2 units of mortals in one area and just like flood it, and then use the Nightbringer to like threaten board space on another little area, maybe. I don't know. Like, anyway, I liked it. And also, I just think it would look badass. Just like 30 shield bros. Just like, just going forward. I know normally you're meant to do the gunfire, but anyway, that's what I think.
Yeah, you can make them like a Spartan phalanx, couldn't you?
Yeah. Did anyone use the app to write lists? No. Tom, what do you think?
About your list?
Yeah.
I don't think warriors lived necessarily long enough if you're using them to shoot things, but that's about it.
I've got no warriors.
Immortals. No warriors. What's a big brick? What was it? Yeah, immortals, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, immortals are just cheap, though. It's a thing, though, right? So what I've done in my list is rather than go for battalion, I think that's a mistake. I think you go for 2 patrols instead, because it basically gives you the same thing, but with an extra slot in each of your fast attack, elite, and heavy support choices without you having to buy the troops.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Okay. All right, well, that's my list. Twitch chat, let me know how I did. I don't think I'm very proud of it, to be honest. I tried to do this with multiple Catans, then I tried to do multiple spiders, and then I was like, I'm just going to go all in. And it's because all this stuff that I wanted was all located in the elite slot. I just wanted that. And I do want to do a list with Tomb Blades, though. I think that would be really fun. But like, I thought it needed to be a bit cleverer, so I went for a really dumb list that would just be fun to run around with. Plus, also, you can always just put dudes back in those units, which is pretty important. You've got reanimation protocols. You've got like resorbs. You've got just putting like 1 back in, or sometimes 2. I don't know. I think that's actually quite powerful, personally. I'm just going to say it. Because he's going to be doing, he's going to be putting 2 back into a unit every turn. Like, well, 1 into one unit, 1 into another unit. That's a lot of dudes.
That is a lot of dudes.
A lot of dudes for free. That's 40 points.
And then you've got the resurrection orb in there at one point, haven't you? So if your opponent manages to get 1 down to 1 dude, you can bring a load back with the resurrection orb. I presume you're taking, because you've got one. You could also buy the Orb of Eternity as an extra relic for that list, just to make that resorb use even better.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. I was thinking of dropping even Nightbringer and then just having some reanimators behind the Lich Guard to just make them like tanky AF. But I was like, they'll just get shot surely. But it's anyway. That was mine. That is my. I'm sorry, everyone. Right, everyone else. As Bet Naomi from Sword and Steel would say, you've done a great job. That's just rude. T-Man Cash, thanks for subscribing. Love you tons. Gebs, thanks for subscribing. All right, I'm done. Tom or Nick, okay. Twitch chat. Let's let the Twitch chat decide.
I'll let the Twitch chat decide when Rob's done his one.
Yeah, because I wanted mine out of the way because I was embarrassed. Yeah.
Oh, like, okay.
I really was. I just don't get the Necron book. Like, I was like, I said this last week, though. Does that make sense? I think he's got a lot of options.
Yeah.
So Zipzap Rap wants Nikos, but Dudade wants Tom. Wait for the third vote. There's only three votes allowed.
Next one in.
There you go. Yes, Nikos is perfect.
Yes, Meatball says Nick.
Okay. So.
Too late. Next list.
Happen now. So I'm just going to move that over there. So my list is, so I've obviously gone for the way that you, the dynasty that you go for Necrons at the minute is the custom dynasty with Eternal Conquerors. So that gives you the objective secured, and then anything that is already objective secured counts as two models for objective capturing. But the second trait I've gone for in my list is Unyielding, which gives you a six up in vulnerable save army wide. The list I've gone for, I wasn't 100% sure on the second one that I'd go for, but I felt that benefited. It just gave me that extra little bit of resilience for the list. I have gone for two patrols.
There he is.
The list that I've done, I'm going to go through the list of units. I haven't separated out into the patrols, but basically they all fit into two patrols as an army. Mm-hmm. So I've got a Catacomb Command Barge, Resurrection Orb. He's got the Veil of Darkness, and he's got the Enduring Will, minus one damage, Warlord trait. So I really like the Catacomb Command Barge anyway, because it's a cool model. I think it's really resilient. It can put out some decent damage. It's pretty fast. It can fly. And then with living metal.
Can it be targeted?
It can't be, no. So it's under the wounds threshold for that as well.
And it's nine wounds.
Nine wounds. It's a vehicle, so it can shoot in combat. You've got only wounded on a 4+ because of quantum shielding, and a 5+ invulnerable save from quantum shielding. He's giving out buffs. He's got the enduring will, minus one damage warlord trait, and he's regaining a wound every turn. I think it's for me, it's the first thing on my list every time because I'm always going to have it. And with its obsec, so late game, it can be fast. It can be a real pain in the ass to deal with late game. And cap an objective or deny an objective from your opponent as well. Other HQs I've got in there are two Technomancers.
Okay,
they've both got a Canoptic Cloak. So they've both got the Canoptic Cloaks. That means that they can fly and that they can heal a vehicle. So they can heal up the Command Barge and some of the vehicles I've got in the list as well. But their main buff that they're giving out is the Rites of Reanimation, where in the command phase, you heal D3, you bring back D3, core, I think it's core, but in my list it's going to be warriors. So you bring it back D3 warriors,
and they can each do that.
They can each do that.
How many warriors? Yes. How many points warriors?
13, I think. Per model.
So on average, you're going to bring back 50 points of models a turn. Oh, well, that's just from those two.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the average, right? Two per D3.
Yeah,
That's pretty. Yeah. Like,
and there is a stratagem where you can do that again. So you could every turn for one CP bring back 3D3 models, 3D3 warriors.
That's actually really good. That's a lot of dudes. It doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like a lot, like to some people maybe, but you know. Anyway, yeah, it's good. Yeah. There's not a lot of summoning available in 40K. Let's be real.
No, but this is kind of it. This is kind of it, isn't it? Bringing models back, I guess. I'd rather bring models back from a unit you've already paid for rather than creating ones out of thin air. So, So the two Technomancers, I've got two because I've got two big units of 20 each. So one is per unit. They follow it around or sit in the middle of it. So two is 20 warriors. And I'm not quite sure whether I'm going for Flayers or Reapers yet. There's pros and cons to both. Obviously, the Flayers are only range 12, but extra strength and AP. And the Reapers are strength 5 and extra AP. And the Flayers are, you've got the range, but you're an extra lower strength and lower AP. Mm-hmm. I'm not decided on that yet, to be honest. They're also supported by Ghost Ark each. So I've got two Ghost Arks. And the Ghost Arcs do a similar thing. So they also add D3 warriors back to a unit in the command phase. So each unit of 20 is having two D3 warriors put back into it each turn.
Two D3 or three D3?
Two D3. So one from the Technomancer and then one D3 from the Ghost Arc per unit. So I've got two Technomancers, two Ghost Arcs. And there's also a stratagem for the Ghost Arc to make it a D6. For warriors as well.
Wow.
So each unit's getting back on average four warriors a turn. Also supporting the Warrior blocks, I've got two reanimators.
Oh no!
Yeah,
no. So what's the gossip with the reanimators? The reanimators make your resurrection protocols happen on a four, right?
Four plus, yeah, they give plus one, so they can shoot that little beamy eye. They got a reanimation beam. They can target a core unit, I think it is, and add plus one to the reanimation protocol. So warriors have a natural reroll ones to the reanimation protocol, so you're on a four plus rerolling ones. So they're as resilient for reanimation protocols as you can get, and they've got the magic one wound. So where reanimation protocols work now, it's slightly worse for multi-wound models. So I've kind of feel like I've got the resilience of a Necron Warrior unit as highest I can, I think, in this list. People don't like this reanimator because it's at quite a lot of points. It's not that resilient and it doesn't really do much apart from that. But I'm going all in on the Warriors and them being resilient and growing lots back. So that's why I've got two on my list, one for each unit. There is a strat where you can swap the beam. So you could go for one reanimator and use that strat to swap it between the units in the turn. But that is just something like the rotate Iron Shield for Knights or the minus one to hit Lightning Fast Reflex for Eldar, where you can kind of bait it out and play around it. So I've gone for two. My plan is just to try and hide them behind terrain
and keep them alive
as long as possible. They're like 110. So they're quite a lot of points. But my idea is that as long as if they can survive for the first two turns, I'm happy because they've kept my warriors alive for most of the game.
And they at least take fire off your warriors to deal with them as well, which is another bonus.
Yeah, and I've got a couple of technomancers round who can heal them D3 extra as well. They've got living metal and they can have a D3 heal on them as well. So even if you don't kill it, if you get down to one wound or two wounds, they can easily go back up to maybe full wounds if you don't finish it off. Mm. Also in the list, I've got three units of Tomb Blades with Gorse Blasters. They're just, because they're upset, they can go and cap objectives and be annoying. They can also screen out areas of the board, do some aggressive blocking. And I've given them Gorse Blasters over the Tesla just because I wanted a bit more punch in their shooting rather than the anti-horde. I wanted the AP. And then I have gone for a Catan Shard, but I've not gone for the Nightbringer. I've gone for the Deceiver.
What? Yeah. Why?
So quite a lot of people have said, oh, they don't like the Deceiver, but I actually really like the Deceiver. So one advantage that he has over the other Catan Shards is that he has dimensional translocation. So he can deep strike. So with the Nightbringer and the other ones, you put them on the board, your opponent can, if they see it early enough in deployment, kind of avoid it or put something that can kill it directly against it. Whereas with the Deceiver, you can deep strike it in, so you can put it where is best for you on the board to bully units or to score an objective or to apply mortal wounds where you want it to. And it obviously keeps it alive in your turn one. Mm-hmm. So that's an advantage over the others that I think it's got. It's still reasonably choppy in combat, nowhere near as the Nightbringer, but it's got one advantage over the Nightbringer. It has it's flat 3 damage rather than the variable D6 damage of the Nightbringer.
Yeah, but the Nightbringer you get saves, right? Nightbringer you don't get saves.
Yeah, you ignore also. Yeah, that's true. I'm just clutching at straws with the damage on that. But he's not in there because he's a fighty monster. He does, he's got decent mortal wounds output because his Catan power is like a leadership roll off. So you roll a d6, add your leadership together and compare it. And if you beat them, you do mortal wounds over the amount. And the Deceiver's leadership 10. So he's averaging a 13 or a 14. And so leadership 10 is the highest you can get leadership. So he's going to do some mortal wounds to units or characters. And then you can pick another one of the Catan powers. They're all pretty good.
Nikos, just to add in there, when he was talking about the combat with the Deceiver and ignoring all saves, you can still do that with a stratagem, right?
There's a stratagem called Entropic Strike where you can turn off someone's invulnerable save. So yeah, that's a good point. So you can, you can't ignore the damage saves like the Nightbringer can, but you can, ignore the invuln saves, which is pretty solid.
That is actually really good. So you can deep strike it, then still ignore the saves.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that's actually...
But yeah. But then it's also got misdirection, a special rule. So it's minus one to hit. So it's also a little bit more resilient from range firepower than the rest of them. And it's obviously got the Necrodermis 4 plus invuln save and only max 3 wounds per phase. So it's going to take some time to bring down or be impossible for some people, depending on what you're going up against. But then its main, it's one of its best rules is Grand Illusion. So I do have an FAQ query for you guys afterwards in the chat, see what everyone thinks. But basically, at the start of the first battle round, but before the first turn begins, you can select 3 Necron units, remove them from the battlefield, and then set them up, as you would for a deployment, or put them into strategic reserves. So I think that's really good, particularly this style of list that I'm going for, because I've got the two big blocks, and it's mainly sort of a defensive blocking list where I want to go and be somewhere and sit on the objectives and cap primaries and score things that way. Yeah. So use the Deceiver to knowing who's going to go first, either myself or my opponent, I can remove those big blocks or deploy. I can deploy them. It doesn't matter where I deploy them because I know I'm going to get to move them.
You might as well do it aggressively, right?
Yeah. So I deploy and aggressively and then. Yeah, exactly. So I think it just gives you such a massive advantage in the first turn in the deployment phase and the first turn phase where you can either, if you're going second, you can redeploy them defensively, hiding behind terrain, or you can redeploy them aggressively to get onto the objectives or to kill something. And particularly combining it with the circumstance of Awakening where you get the 6-inch pregame move from the Relentless Expansionist trait. Because that also happens in the first battle round before first turn begins. So you can redeploy units and then move them 6. So you could you can really get a really big advantage in terms of board control and movement in the first turn with the Deceiver. So my FAQ query is, can you use Grand Illusion if the Deceiver is deep striking?
Oh.
So if the Deceiver isn't on the board.
Does it need to be on the board?
I don't think he does from the reading of the rule, because the rule says nothing about him being on the board or redeploying him. It just says at the start of the first battle round, you can select up to 3 friendly Necron units.
There did, or there was, and I can't remember which game system, whether it was for fucking...
There was a 40k, there was definitely a 40k thing, because someone was
asking to be on the board, right?
Yeah, it was about Vect specifically, and you did have to be on the board. But I don't know if that's carried over into 9th, and I haven't read enough to know, so I'm passing on that one.
Pass also. There was a, and there normally is, like, not that he's in the transport. If you've got an ability and you're in a transport, are you considered on the board and you can't?
I don't think so, no. Yeah, if you're in a transport, you can't.
So I think it's going to be treated the same, personally. Sorry, everyone, about our internet, by the way. I think it's been a bit ropey, so I apologise a lot about that. There's nothing to be done. But I'll try and fix it.
Dick in the chat has also pointed out that the Deceiver's minus one to hit also works in combat, so it's not only more slightly more resilient in shooting, it's also in combat as well. You get the minus one to hit, which is pretty good.
No, abilities only work for models on the table, Alan Droll says, and I do trust Alan Droll. Like, he normally keeps he keeps track. So but the deep strike also minus one to hit on the Deceiver in combat, right?
Yes, yeah. So I'm a big fan of the Deceiver. I think it's pretty good.
I thought we'd see more warriors in your list, if I was honest. But instead of going for more warriors, you decided to buff the warriors you have.
Yeah. I've gone all in on the buffs on the warriors I've got. I've got 2 units of 20, but they get, like I said, they're getting 2d3 each back a turn, they're getting extra reanimation, they're getting plus one to hit, all sorts of buffs on those ones, yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah, that's pretty good. What does everyone think of Nick's list? I mean, someone in the chat, I can't remember who it was like, I'm not listening. I'm not listening to this list at all as soon as you said reanimators and the Deceiver. They're like, I'm not taking part in this in any way. I was like, okay, that's pretty wild. Tom, what did you think, Tom?
It plays to the win condition that you're going for very, very well. My question would be, how efficient is a win condition? Which doesn't mean, like, obviously, it's... Like, you've picked how you're going to win and you've gone straight for it, which is how you build lists, which is great. My thing is just, like, how well does it fit into it? And a lot of that depends upon what the meta looks like, right? So, for example, if you play into a lot of things where they can just burst a bunch of Necron Warriors off a board, then you're going to have an issue. But if it doesn't go that way, it'd be potentially be fantastic. So It's one of those.
Yeah, I definitely think, combat units that are putting out a lot of attacks, like I think Khorne Berserkers would be a kryptonite to this list a little bit because they can put out a lot of damage one attacks on my Necron Warriors. But if like Tom said, if the meta's like more elite, like I was thinking like Harlequins with their, like if Harlequins shoot over and the little Skyweaver shoot a couple of fusion pistols at me, I don't care. About that, because I'm just going to bring a couple of models back.
I think.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, nothing. I was just going to say. I'm a bit obsessed with the terrain. I've talked about this on the other shows. I think it's more impactful than maybe we give it credit for. Very excited about having my board set up here in the studio so I can play a load of games and try it out, especially in the WTC terrain packs. Actually, like, that's where my head's at the minute, moving between those board spaces. Can you block off, like, can you keep those 20 safe for a while, maybe a turn, maybe two?
Yeah.
Like, so the reanimator's there for longer? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it will be slightly more of a challenge hiding a big blob of 20. Yeah. I think it would be slightly more challenging hiding that. But also, I think what I'm really looking forward to using this list is that playing around those reanimation protocols. So every time you get shot and you bring units back from reanimation protocols, or you heal D3 into the unit, you get an extra 2-inch movement, or three, including the base size. So you get an extra 3-inch movement either side of the unit. So you can be creeping along the board, either into line of sight or out of line of sight onto an objective, all the time. With the reanimation protocols. And I think, and Alan Joel just said in the chat that with the big unit of 20, you can actually keep the reanimator buff on them a lot easier because you can snake the unit to a point that it can see them and still hide. Obviously I've not tested this list because I'm not able to, but it's a style of list I'd like to start playing with. I used to enjoy playing big blobs warriors when I first started playing 40K with these. So that's what I'm hoping for. And I think the Ghost Arcs are also fantastic.
That stratagem's good. That stratagem for an, as you say, it's an extra, so instead of D3, it's D6. How many CP is that?
I think it's just one D6.
And you can, is it once per game, or is it like every turn?
So the command bars, the Ghost Arc can heal a Necron Warrior unit every turn, similar to the Technomancer does. The stratagem you could obviously do once per phase, so you could do it once, five times over the course of the game. But also, I think they're a great unit because they fly as well, so they can jump over terrain. They've got as much shooting as 10 Necron Warriors, so they've got reasonable damage output. You can't really buff them because they're not core or anything like that. They've also got quantum shielding, so they're quite hard to deal with. And you can fly them up and shunt them into something. They're objective secured because they're in the custom dynasty. And they can just be, they can be quite annoying and difficult to deal with. So I think they're pretty good as well. And the Tomb Blades, they're just like in there because they're fast. And
I would like cool. to make a list, again, spam max Tomb Blades, I reckon, almost. Or maybe just one big block. I think that's the thing about the Necrons, like, is you spoil for choice, really. There seems to be a lot that's great. That's where I was like really falling down. And I personally think it's pretty positive, unlike our internet connection.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm just watching struggle its whole way through. I'm sorry, everyone watching live. Well done, Nick. Great work.
I've got more things to say about my list, if that's okay.
I would love
One weakness of the list is I don't think the list is super built to like previous list, to do secondaries that well. I think it's really good on the primaries, but I don't think the secondaries are that strong. I think Raised Banners is quite good for it.
Yeah.
Maybe the Purge the Vermin Necron one it's okay for. But it's not, I mean, it's okay for engaging on fronts, but it's not ideal because you've only got the units of Doom Blades, but there's only three of them. So one of them's going to die at some point. One of the combo that I'd like to finish on that I spotted for Warriors. So I think my list in general does lack particularly long range damage, but it's the only real damage dealer I've got that's decent and reliable is the Deceiver. Mm. But for the Warriors in particular, there's two little stratagems you can use on the Warriors, but you can actually use on Immortals as well. So one is disintegration capacitors, so Gauss weapons, six is to wound, auto wound. Is that right? This is, that can't be right. Six is to wound, auto wound. I think it might be six is to hit, auto wound.
Six is to hit, I think, is the one.
Sorry, let me just find that one. And also, the other one, so disintegrating capacitors. Yeah, so hit. So six is to hit, auto wound. But then the other one is relentless onslaught, where six is to hit, score an additional hit. So if you've got 20 warriors, that's 40 shots with whatever weapon it within range 12. Six is to hit, auto wound, and then also score an extra hit as well. That's quite a nice little combo.
That is good. That is good. Well, you do both at the same time, and it's only one CP each, right?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So two CP for that.
That's the other thing about the Necron book is it seems to be powered by very cheap stratagems.
I feel that's the way that they're going to go with most of the codexes now. I feel like there's a lot of the stratagems are going to be more tailored to certain units. So they're going to be more limited in their scope to certain units rather than broad sweeping keywords. And they're going to be slightly less impactful but cheaper. So you're going to be in lots of little stratagems rather than a few big ones, I think.
Yeah, okay. No, I agree. I agree. I think you need to build it up in pieces, truth be told, as an army. And put it all together. Tom, you got any questions?
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah? You got any worries about who you'd face against, Nick, or like about armies that would give you problems? You said, obviously, berserkers.
Yeah,
I always think about Marines at the minute. Like, whenever I'm thinking about anything, I'm thinking about Marines, which is why when I was talking about the Lich Guard, that AP3 on their weapons. I know it's only damage one, but it's AP3. Mm. And I was just like, cool, they're not going to get much of a save. Like, you know, I just think about Marines all the time. I was like, what am I going to do about this then? I'm just going to fucking stab them. Stab and chop their heads off. Like, fuck them.
Yeah.
So, like, -3, I was like, that's all right. Not bad. All right, sweet. Thanks, Nick. That was great. I hope Twitch chat enjoyed it. And everybody in the chat. Tom? How are you feeling about your list? You think you're going to pog on over us?
It's a little bit... it's not refined, but the core is there. I can go for it if you'd like. So, you ready? Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through the entire list in one go.
Okay.
And then I'm going to explain what the win condition is. And then I'm going to explain how each of the parts fit into my win condition, okay? And there's going to be some spice in here. But if I didn't give my spicy opinions in case I might be wrong, then I would never say anything like cool or interesting, right? So spicy opinions in here, be warned. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right, which is why I'm going to say it. But yeah, your mileage may vary. So first attachment I have is a patrol, It is a patrol. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Sautek patrol. Okay. Which is the one that allows you to reroll morales and it gives you extra rapid fire range. And in there, I have a Nemesaur Zandrek, who is my warlord, with Eternal Madness as the warlord trait, because I couldn't be bothered to buy an actual overlord, so he has to be my warlord.
Fair.
And that allows me to reroll to win in melee. And then I've also got Vargard Oberon in there as well.
Ooh.
And then that also has in it a squad of 20 Necron Warriors. Okay. We've then got a second patrol detachment. And that one is not Sautek. This one is a custom detachment with Eternal Conquerors and Relentlessly Expansionist. So that is OPSEC for everything in there. And I get to move 6 inches before the start of the first battle round, okay?
Yep.
And in there, I have a Chronomancer with Veil of Darkness. I have a squad of 5 Immortals with Gauss Blasters. I have a Nightbringer. I have 2 Crypto Thralls and 2 squads of 5 Canoptic Wraiths.
Okay.
And then in my final detachment, it's a third patrol, and it's also the custom detachment. Yeah. And that is a Chronomancer, again.
Right.
5 Immortals of Gauss Blasters, 2 more Crypto Thralls, 5 more Scorpec Destroyers, 5 Wraiths, and then a squad of 3 Scarab Swarms. And that puts me on the nose at 2,000 points. So the win condition for this thing is effectively to just completely pressure out the center. So you end up sticking all your stuff in the center of the board. It's very, very difficult to shift. If you try to walk into it, you're going to get whacked by a bunch of stuff, specifically looking at the squad of Skorpec Destroyers, potentially the Race to a degree, the Nightbringer, and then the squad of 20 Necron Warriors that's in my Sawtech detachment, right?
Yeah.
So in here, you've got a lot of toughness 5. You've got a lot of durability. You've got a lot of stuff that can jump out over the terrain and charge you. So it makes it very, very difficult. You can't just walk into the center of the board because you're going to hit by a lot of stuff, which is why I feel comfortable dynasty mixing, because the protocols are nice because they're buffs. Buffs are fine, but they're not free because they come with an opportunity cost, and that opportunity cost is that you can't mix detachments. And here, I feel like it's worth me mixing detachments. So I will give up those protocols for the opportunity to take this Sautek detachment. Now, there's a couple of reasons why I like this Sautek detachment. Firstly, I really like the Necron Warriors specifically in this. And the reason why is because it gives you an extra bit of punch to push people off the center of the board. If you take that out, you end up taking, maybe I take another patrol detachment with some more Skorpec Destroyers and some more Crypto Thralls and some more of that kind of stuff, right? So that would be quite nice, but it doesn't really, you're already strong in that area, and making you stronger in that doesn't mean that you're going to beat more things, right? It just means that anything that can beat you, just you know, you've got an issue with it, right? So I'm already strong enough to beat anything I want to if that is my win con. So I don't need to necessarily go with that. As it's Sautek, I have multiple ways to get 2+ to hit on those Necron Warriors, right? And I'm also rapid firing at 18-inch range, which is kind of nice. So basically able to jump out 18-inch range with those. You then have a lot of buffs that go on the Necron Warriors, but they're all aggressive buffs rather than defensive buffs, right? And so I just to comment on the on Asri's comment as well. So I might need to wind back a bit and go for explain why I'm doing patrols. So because I'm doing patrols, I need 3 troops choices and 3 HQs, right? Mm-hmm. And then I get access to 6 fast attack slots, 6 elite slots, and 6 heavy support slots, right? If I go for a battalion, I only get access to 3 of each, which means that I can't like completely spam my elite slot if I wanted to.
And because it feels like loads of the good shit's in the elite slot.
Exactly, right? Now, I haven't actually packed it, but the reason why I've done it this way is because I can split the detachments up, but I also don't have to buy that third squad of Immortals. Because if I was going battalion, I need 3 troops choices now. So I'd rather tank the CP hit than tank the 85 points hit. Because at the end of the day, when you check this, right, I could do the battalion and then I'm on 12 CP. Or I could do this and now I'm on 8. Now I feel like spending the 4 CP to not have to take those Immortals here is worth it, because that 85 points is going to cost you 2 or 3 race, almost 3 race, right?
Could the patrol can have 6 elites. Could you bung all the elites into the patrol and then have the the battalion and then have a faster tank one? But I guess it's about the that you want the dynasty traits, right?
You do, and I also want the Sautek one, but also I'm also trying to spam the fast attack slot as well. Because both Wraiths and Scarabs are in there, right? And the Scarabs are very useful. Also, because I'm taking patrols, you can take 1 unit of Crypto Thralls for every Cryptek in your detachment, right?
Yeah.
And then you could take 1 Cryptek per detachment, unless you spam, which works. But as I'm now taking multiple detachments, I can take Cryptek here, Cryptek here, that's 2 units of Crypto Thralls.
Nice. And they're perfect secondary dudes.
They're fantastic for secondaries. They're also very, very cheap for what they provide. So it's 2 models. They've got 2 wounds each. And they are toughness 5, I believe. I'll just get the
thanks to
one up.
So
they look like... Oh, sorry.
Ziggy,
you're
donating 5 gift subscriptions. Everyone in the chat. That's very lovely of you.
That's fantastic.
Ziggy.
So they are effectively toughness 5 Necron Warriors with 2 wounds each. So they are 10 points of wound for toughness 5 at 3 up save. That's very, very good value. And also because they're independent units, it means you've now got focus weapons at the end, which causes an issue for your opponent, which is quite nice. So getting back to the Sautek Patrol, you've got the Necron Warriors, but also I'm building it this idea that I'm going to sit in the middle of the board and just stop you from walking into me. Now, Vargon Oberon doesn't have many attacks, but what he does is makes it very, very tricky for anyone to remove Nemesaur Zandrak. So when we were playing our game, Rob, the other week,
yes,
we had the issue of the objectives had to be out of the ruin, right?
Yep.
Now, you can't physically target Nemesaur Zandrak with ranged attacks if Oberon is within 3 inches of that model.
Oh, really?
So you can have Nemesis Zandrek poking out, and then you can have Vargard Oberon right behind it, right? But you could say, oh, well, Tom, that's going to cause an issue because now you can't really move Zandrek around because you're going to leave his bodyguard behind.
Doesn't Tom, that's going to cause an issue.
Yeah, there you go. It is going to cause an issue. Thank you very much, Nick. That's fantastic. You could say that. And you'd be partially right, but Vargard Oberon has his own rule that allows you to pick him up at the start of your movement phase, and then you set him up in the reinforcement step of the same phase. So basically, start of movement phase, you just pick up Oberon, move Zandrek off, and then you stick Oberon down somewhere safe straight afterwards. Now, this has two functions. Firstly, it means you can walk Nemesis Zandrek around as much as you want, which is cool. And then you just drop him down. But it also means, let's say I want to punch a vehicle in the face with my war scythe on Oberon.
Yeah.
I could just do it. I just stick him outside of 1 inch.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. It's a nice little combo. It's not game breaking. He's only got 4 attacks. But it is nice because it's a little tricksy stuff. And even if you take away all these tricks, right, that Oberon has, you are still paying, for the combo of Nemesis Zandrek and Vargard Oberon, it's 235 points. So that's just over 19 points per toughness 5, 2 plus save wound, and Zandrek has an invulnerable save. So it's not bad value for the number of wounds that you're getting there, or the durability of said wounds. And this is before you even get into Zandrek's tricks. So Zandrek's got a lot of stuff in it, that he can do himself. So he's got My Will Be Done, which allows him to give plus 1 to hit for the Necron Warriors. There's one of the ways you can give things 2 plus to hit. And then you reroll 1s with Vargard Oberon, by the way, so it's very, very consistent. He also has Relentless March, so while a friendly Celtic Core unit is within 6 inches, each time that unit is selected to non-mover advance until the end of the phase, add 1 to the move characteristic. So you're also speeding up the Necron Warriors as well, which is quite nice. But the main thing that you take him for is counter tactics, which is once per battle, when your opponent declares they will use a stratagem during a battle round, before they spend any command points, this model can engage its counter tactics. If it does, your opponent cannot use that stratagem this battle round.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
So he's just got,
is it once per game?
Yeah, it's once per game, but it's a Vect. He's just got a free Vect.
And how many points is he for a free Vect?
135.
No.
Not bad. Yeah, so
he's doing everything that an Overlord does as well.
Dude, it's brilliant. So 235 points for this combo. You can't target one guy and you're just sticking him around. You've got these two nutters just running around that are basically unkillable, or at least very, very hard to kill. You've got a free Vect in there. You've got a trick to jump over and hit things. You can buff your warriors to basically one-bang anything. You're going to have... What's the AP of a Ghostbuster? Minus 1, right?
Yeah, but the Ghost, you could have the Ghost Reaper AP 2.
You could do, but I'm going for a cheap version. So you've got the Gorse Flayer. It's rapid fire, but it works at 18-inch range because you're Celtic. So you're firing off 40 shots, hitting on 2s, rolling 1s with AP 1. It's not bad. You've got
there's that combo that I mentioned earlier where auto-hit and then explode into extra hits.
Yeah, buddy! There's so much you could do with it. And this is the thing. I'm not even saying that this is necessarily amazing because... I've already spoken about, I needed those 85 points from Warriors to feel like I had enough wounds. And maybe I'll need more wounds, because as I was talking about earlier, the meta shifts to a point where it can kill all of that stuff, right? And then maybe I drop my Luxury Detachment of Oberon and Zandrek and my Necron Warriors. So that's perfectly fine. But for now, I think that's decent, mate. I really like that. And one of the things I like to do is, I know people are already testing lots of race, lots of spiders, lots of scarabs, all that kind of stuff, and just shoving it in the middle of the board. So why would I test that? If it works,
because someone's already doing the work, right?
Yeah, I don't need to test it to learn whether it works or not. If it works, the people I trust who I see are testing it will do it for me. So I might as well test something that's interesting and spicy.
I mean, the Vect is really important, especially because some anecdotal evidence only, but I feel like there are those moments where you're going to engage to push someone off an objective, because you can play 40k more cagey now than you previously could. Like, not that you didn't just sit in the corner before and just throw like fucking rocks across the board, like missiles, sorry. Like, you can play a little bit more cagey, so that time when you'd like, now's my time to jump out from behind cover, I'm now going to charge, I'm going to clear the objective, and that's going to be my primary going forward. This is the time when they've used a stratagem for that situation for it to be better, and you're like, no.
Like, yeah.
And do you need line of sight or anything? It's just...
Nope, you just do it.
That's wild.
You just do it. So you've got the ability to stick in the center. You've got some more counterpunch in the Necron Warriors and even Oberon if you want to. And you've also got some really, really sticky characters. And by the way, while we stand, while we fight on this list.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, you're not killing Oberon and you're not killing Zandrak. That's 10 points to me. You're not getting Scramblers either because I've got these Crypto Falls running around. I've got these little shitty units running around. I've got two units of Immortals, of course, Blasters, because they're much cheaper. I've got two units of two Crypto Falls, and I've got one unit of three Scarabs. They don't
So you're doing secondaries. You got lots of shit to do secondaries with, and also
I've got lots of shit to do secondaries with, but also to just to stand out the front and stand on the objectives and say, well, if you want to come and claim me, you got be it, like be my guest. Yoink, straight over the wall.
Yeah, I agree. Baron Tatley says he rates your shenanigans at Madras level spicy.
Yeah, it is spicy. But everyone's been telling me it's shit. And the reason why everyone's been telling me it's shit is because, oh, Oberon objectively got a worse data slate this edition than in previous one. I'm not looking at it from a perspective of he is worse than the previous Oberon. I'm looking at it from a perspective of this guy could do some work in this edition. I don't care how he used to be.
Well, the game is... It's a completely different game.
And he said
it's
this to Innes, and he said it hasn't changed that much. And I'm like, bro, like... So I'm going to run this in the TTS event that the Scottish guy's doing, and I'm going to see how it goes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because
I think this could be really good. It might blow up in my face, and I'll embarrass myself, because I've just gone to a 10-20-minute rant about how I have to go around and Zandrak like the shit. But, hey...
It'll be worth the adventure.
Yeah, and if I did, like, if I genuinely think that, even if it blows up in my face, like, should I not say that, because I might be wrong?
Oh, no, you should just...
Imagine how insecure you'd have to be.
Yeah,
like I still maintain I was right about the looters. Like I never said looters individually as a unit were awful. I said the builds around the looters were awful, and what did they win? Fucking nothing.
Which is exactly what I said about like when we talked about this before. All Hell Goonhammer. We talked about their like kind of first takes after ninth dropped, and they were talking about the custom whatever the terrible weapon that I hated from orcs, which everyone loved. Whatever that was.
The super shocker.
Yeah, the super shocker, which attacker. I thought it was a terrible way to try and play 40k, like especially with orcs. Like
it was very orky though.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was super orky. But my point is like we're all gonna like see the game differently. I think that's one of the like deeply attractive things about Warhammer. Is that you look at it and like there are loads of ways to unpack it, especially as I was having this conversation today with Sam on the show during the Age of Sigmar show during Stream Street that I think I had it off with him off air that like I'm quite a cagey player if I could not lose any of my models I'd be way happy about that. I'm like that's pretty good. Yeah, whereas some people are like really happy like MSUing it up, dropping little 5-man units here, little 2-man squad there, they've got like plans within plans, like, and that isn't really like my like evasion playstyle, isn't my playstyle. So I get uncomfortable when I see a list that's played that way because I don't have that playstyle in me, if that makes sense, which is one of the reasons I'm attracted to building a few different armies. So that I could try and play in a different way. My Harlequin's army is going to play very differently to my Orc army, par exemple. So anyway, like I think you're right, Tom. I think also there's an exercise in some ways in pushing yourself in trying to make tools work, even if you don't really rate them. You know, like the Reanimator is going to be a really interesting like playtest from Munich. You know, and like whoever was in the chat was like, well, I'm not going to listen to. This guy's got a Reanimator and a Deceiver. It's like, well, if everyone's always trying the Nightbringer, then
book will not be explored if it's out a week and everyone goes, well, that is how you play Necrons and these are the good lists. That is it. And everyone just plays that forever.
Yeah.
The whole book is not going to be explored. And who's like, I don't believe that, particularly during a pandemic where no one can really play that many games, that a book can be out a week and people can just dissect it and go, 100%. This is how you play. This is it.
Well, here's a good example. Bjork book from last edition. That was a fantastic book. And the reason why is because no one ever fully works it out.
Yeah, and it's still evolving. Yeah, yeah. Like, well, I mean, look at the old book at the start of ninth. Like, someone in Australia, who's just like, cool, loads of buggies, what you got? And everyone's like,
you don't even need to do that. Look at the ETC list from 2019.
Yeah, all different.
In fourth place, you have a Meganobs list with 20 Meganobs in it.
Yeah, they were a thing that we saw them in Canada, and that guy's also mental. Like, that was also an incredible army. It looked great. Yeah, like the the super snooker attack gun was what it was. That's
super snooker.
The super snooker attack gun. We need a snooker remote is what we need. Yeah, great. I love that. I love that. I also like I love hearing you guys being quite excited about like the other stuff, like the other things that like people aren't really thinking through. I think that's also a nice thing to do when the book's been out for like, you know, a while, sort of thing. Like it's been out for a couple of weeks, and then we can kind of like absorb information, dissect that information better, like really kind of process it as a group. And then go, cool, that's what everyone's generally feeling. What are the little side, you know, where are the side hustles? Because, like, you don't want to be the main hustle. You want to be the side hustle. The side hustle's where it's at. That's what I've always said, anyway. It's all about the side hustle. Yeah. That's what we should call our list, the side
dirty
hustle.
Dirty side hustle.
The side hustle being Oberon.
Well, so Oberon for you, Deceiver for Nick, and I've gone, I like Cesaras. Like, I know that sounds a bit dumb, but I love that. Like, toughness 6 immortals just romping onto an objective, I feel is pretty decent. And especially as I'm bringing maybe, like, 2 back a turn. It's pretty cool. Like, they're pretty hard. And then they're on 4-up, 2-up. They can have, like, 4 attacks each, hit on 2s. Like, it's a fucking combat block. It's Terminators, basically, but you can heal them. Like, what's not to love? Like, anyway. Who is everyone's favorite list? Twitch chat. Let's see what everyone's saying. I'd be really interested to see how reanimators go with 6-inch game move. It will allow you to position them far better in and out of line of sight blocking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Baron Saturday asks, where are the terrain layouts that Rob has been using? The terrain layouts you can find on the WTC website. So World Team Championship, not Championships, which is a different website.
Just don't spend a grand on that kind of board. Holy shit.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, that's some news. No. That's some news. Oh, should we talk about that?
Yeah, very quickly.
Go for it.
So I got an email in my inbox from Big Bear 3D, which I now realize is an affiliate of... it's not a gay website as much as I thought it would be. When I see the words Big Bear appear in my inbox, I'm like, all right, okay. But it was the John Lennon Champions table. Now, I like John's fine, and I know this isn't his fault, but someone has used his name to market a board.
Which it's pretty funny. But the board did look super cool. The board did look cool.
You see that, mate? I'm looking at the L's in the centre, and they are the thickest things I've ever seen. So it's meant to be inspired by the WTC terrain standard, right?
Yeah.
They're charging a grand for it, mate. You can get the same thing from
I don't know.
You can get a table's worth of terrain from TT Combat, which is pretty decent, for £70.
Yeah.
And it looks almost as good as that
terrain. It's not quite as much terrain, I don't believe.
No, you don't. No, I think there's a couple of pieces. You would need a few more pieces to, like, I think there's 8 or 10 bits of terrain in that set. But it's like, that's pretty good for £70.
It's like they describe as designed in coordination with the Art of War veteran and Iron Halo champion, John Lennon. What that means is John has sent them to the WTC rules pack and they have made a thing and slapped his name on it.
I mean,
John Lennon endorses this table.
Like, it does look good. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I'm never going to spend a grand on it, but it looks cool. It looks cool. Let's be real.
The grand thing in poor John getting lobbed under the bus into this horrendously priced table. Which is just funny. It's just funny. It's just funny, isn't it, mate? Glorious.
We've had still
not as bad
on...
as trying to deploy an Ares, by the way.
Huh?
Still not as bad as trying to deploy an Ares, by the way.
We're not. So that's actually something I'd like to bring up, but like in a side thing. So I want to see what everyone else is saying in the chat. Which was Tom's is the most interesting list, but I think Nikos wins more. Not a lot of love for Robin there. I'm too delayed to play Tom's, but it sounds spicy. I would lean towards Boomer Rob's list for the straight ahead approach. Thank you. That's my current name today. Last week I was Ricky Bobby. This week I'm Boomer Bob. Who knows what I'll be next week? Tune in to find out. That's my new.
Hoping you'd use my Necron names that I gave as well.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. The spicy Twitter drama took over my mind.
Yeah,
wait, spicy Twitter drama.
I was mostly proud with Tom's name, so I'll let the Twitch chat know Tom's name. So Tom's Necron name that I assigned him was Katon Shard of the Looter Deceiver.
true. Yeah, and I said, I never deceived anyone.
Dinos says you can see that me and Tom are Necron noobs. That's completely fair. Pete the Wargamer. Oh, it's really nice.
Because we look at it with a fresh perspective and actually have a good idea, and like just taking the narratives from a previous book and assuming the new one is the same.
You know, when I see people are like, oh, this weapon was good in 7th edition, I'm like, shut up! Like, why are you bringing that up? Anyway, doesn't matter. But also, it's really nice Pete the Wargamer keeps tuning in. He should come on the stream stream one day. I'm going to drop him a message. I've got to go with Nikos because he's not afraid to check out stuff everyone has written off, and I want to see what Warriors can do. I think that's the... Can we just talk about the fact that the book is cool? The book seems to have lots of options.
I am kind of proud of that comment because he's like... Like Frothy Cat is not saying, but is saying that Oberon has not been written off. So there you go, perfect.
I like that. Can I just say that the guys who like my list, like fucking fist bump. I know what you're about. We're just like, listen, we're gonna put some boys on the board. We're gonna walk forward. What you got? We got one scary fella, and we're just gonna fucking go for it. Yeah, finger guns all day.
It's cheap, £350 on painted. Oh no.
Oh wait, is it £350 on painted?
Yeah, but still £350. I'm on shipping for a massive ton of 3D printed plastic.
Yeah, that's going to be weighty, isn't it? I prefer MDF terrain.
I don't know. Like, so I'm building some terrain for the venue. Nick built some amazing terrain, maybe nearly 2 years ago now. Amazing, super sweet terrain, on a budget. And again, Nick's a lamaster. I'm very much looking forward to having some sweet ass terrain. So the last thing I'd like to bring up is some Facebook drama, but I'm gonna sideball it a little bit because I'd like to talk about the positive. I'd like to end the show if that is okay with you guys. So there was on Facebook, as is, random posts by random people, but there was a video put up of a young man who was having some problems. I feel like the gentleman was having some problems anyway. And it was one of those classic situations where someone was reading out some rules. He was like, oh, I can do this, whatever, no one can say nothing against me. And the comments were pretty much like, some of them were like mean, some of them were like just meme-y, like just doing memes and taking the piss. But what I really loved, and this is really, 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 really important, that initial post got a load of, and I'm sorry I'm not being very specific, because what I don't want to do is direct anyone to the gentleman, specifically because of what I'm about to say next, is it's quite clear that the gentleman is like suffering, and the 40K forum or Facebook page we're talking about, is where like he was like, you know, basically having a meltdown and posting all this stuff out, you know, so pretty much me every like 3 days on Twitter. And but what was nice, what was super, super, super nice was after 4 or 5 hours of everyone taking the piss, a whole bunch of guys were like, do you know what? This guy might be really suffering and we should dial it back. And I'm not just talking about like your average, like pretty nice guy anyway. I'm talking about the saltiest miners you could ever find, yeah, who live in a town full of salt, whose entire joy is taking the piss out of people, are like,
don't confirm, yeah.
Yeah, we're like, we probably should be nicer people about this thing. And actually, I find that like super uplifting. That's been one of the most uplifting things I've seen in the past couple of days. I was like, that's really, really, really nice, because we're all really emotionally invested in gaming. Like, otherwise we wouldn't invest so much time. Like, it would be super weird if you like hobbied all day and spent a grand on an army or whatever you fuck you did, and someone's like, are you emotionally invested? Like, nah, fuck, not bothered at all. Doesn't remotely bother me. So that's super weird, right? But I don't know. Tom, I know you're privy to this. Tommy, Nick, are you privy to this kind of like story I'm telling right now, or not at all?
No, I haven't seen anything.
Okay, I'm sorry not to catch you up. But basically, someone did a video, fucking banged on online, just made a mug of himself, and then it kind of, the conversation changed, which I actually think was really, really positive. Tom, you got any thoughts on it?
No, I have been too busy. I haven't really been paying it. I just saw some stuff, like some notifications, and I was like, okay.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. The positive news is that actually the group of adult men decided to be really positive and reinforcing. And I think that we should all be really uplifted by that.
And I think most of the time in real life, that tends to happen much quicker than, you know, like on the internet. The internet, you can be just a cesspool of negativity, people dumping on other people because they're just anonymous, or, well, sometimes anonymous. It's like getting more road rage in a car because you're in the car, you're not really with that person. But yeah, it's nice that they did eventually recognize that someone might be struggling, and that's why they might be lashing out and actually show a bit of kindness, I guess. So it's nice.
I thought it was super nice. I think it was, I think it's a nice place to end the show. That, like, especially now, like with COVID, like, you know, we're here trying to be excited about these armies we can't play. Like, me and Nick currently can't even see each other. We're not that far away. I'm in a studio with like several tables we could play Warhammer on. We just can't.
You can meet by the big tree.
By the big tree.
Yeah.
The tree.
Do you guys want to meet by the big tree later about 1 a.m.?
I don't think I'm allowed to. I think you guys can have that.
Are you not allowed to join our tree zone?
No.
Oh.
Our tree bubble.
No.
Okay. Well,
I'll check the guidelines and see what I'm allowed to do.
Nick, we could go to, you know, that coffee shop down the road, Blend. We could just roll a mat out there and just pop some bottles out. That would be so funny.
I think we should, like book a restaurant. Okay, can I have your biggest table, please? And then just turn up with.
No, because we can only go outside.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. All right. Yeah, a restaurant with an outside table. Yeah perfect. Yeah.
Pretty upsetting, to be honest. Okay. All right. Well, have you guys got any shout outs? Anything you want to talk about this week before we get head off?
I have a shout out. Yeah.
Oh yeah. What is it?
I want to give John Lamp a shout out because he's a fucking awesome dude.
He is an awesome dude, Lampy. I want to shout out Lampy as well. Well, that's what I call him anyway. Like, I've been to Lampy's house. Really nice. Really nice. He's got every model they've ever made.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got his own Warhammer World Museum in his house.
Every fucking model. Tom, you got anyone to shout out?
No.
Tom, come on. One
tiny
piece of enthusiasm from you today. Just something, babe.
I just got enthusiastic for Vargard Oberon. You can have that. Enjoy.
What is there not someone in the community you want to tell them you love them?
Just pick a random person in the chat.
Yeah, do that.
Medieval. I don't know. I just scrolled down the chat.
Oh my god, we're getting
you
out.
See that person's name.
Well, like, that's over. We're taking you out.
Scroll down and just picked a random person.
Well, lockdown's over. We're taking you out for a walk. Yeah, to burn off your energy. Yeah. This is your problem is too much Among Us. Do you think everyone is sus? Yeah?
I'm very good at it though. I was smashing the Scots the other day. It was glorious.
Okay. Anyway, thank you to the Twitch chat and thank you to everyone for joining us live. Sorry about the internet today. It's been a bit of a fuck. Nick, thanks very much. You've been wonderful.
Thank you, as have you and Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, you have been like sullen like a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, I am 14, so that makes sense.
And thank you to me, of course, to myself.
Thanks,
my pleasure. Don't worry.
Thank you for not remembering to thank the YouTube subscribers and Patreon guys, and the podcast bros. Thank you for not thanking them today.
The Hydro Homies or the Snooker team, as we now know them.
Team Snooker.
Yeah. Team Snooker. You guys are all good. Thanks for joining us live. You guys have been brilliant. Don't forget to join us again tomorrow. Don't forget to join us on Saturday for our birthday bash. Can I just take a moment to thank Nick and Tom and also everyone else who's been on the Honest Wargamer and supported us at any point over the past 3 years. It's been deeply appreciated, and I just want to thank you tons. So we'll see you guys soon, and have a nice day.